Hey, everybody, what's going on? Friday afternoon. We're doing it in the afternoon now. And, you know, Upper Darby is truly in the house today. Greg Linga, who we're going to talk to in a second. Before we talk to Greg, though, got to tell everybody about Bombers and Sleeves. They are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down and wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries today at bombersandsleeves.com. So, the man who's was legendary in Upper Darby, now he's become a legendary all through Delaware County and the world, the one and only Mr. Greg Linga. What's going on, Greg?
That's true. That's right. There is a world beyond Delaware County, it seems like.
Who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, this is crazy. This whole thing, this movie, it's coming out of, I mean, for me, nowhere. For you, it's been in the makings for a while. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I remember back in Upper Darby High School, you know, you were a couple years behind me. Like, you were like the jock guy and quarterback playing sports. And I never would have thought of you wanting that Hollywood bug, getting into the Hollywood world.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I would agree with you there. I definitely don't consider myself part of the Hollywood world. This kind of all started with just a couple of buddies of mine and I, Mike Bond and Billy Riley. We were just kind of messing around with just ideas about all the rich stories of the people we grew up with and our parents and the neighborhood and how the neighborhood kind of raised us as much as our families did. And we, after we started compiling it, I actually reached out to my cousin, John Donahue, who you went to St. Alice with.
Yeah.
And then had him kind of take a look at the script. And then eventually a friend of a friend introduced me to a director, Paolo Pilotti, who was just exceptional. And he kind of helped take the script to the next level of like conforming to a Hollywood script of the three acts and having a love interest and that type of stuff. So then it wasn't really until we had the script done that I then considered, all right, let's see if we can try to make this.
You know, it's funny, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, how many of us, you know, not only just people from Upper Darby, but people from Delaware County have probably sat in a bar or sat in friends' houses having some cold ones or having some crazy stories of reminiscing and thinking to yourself, like, this should be a movie. This should totally be a movie. It should be a book or something.
Right.
Like, did you have, like, and you were finally like, let's like really make this happen.
Yeah, I think it probably wasn't until I was in college and I watched Brothers McMullen for the first time that I thought, you know, this is just a bunch of normal people like I grew up with. That I was always a little offended that South Boston gets this like cool place to be when, you know, Philadelphia is the second largest city on the East Coast, and it's you know, we have so many talented people coming in and around Philadelphia. And and I thought that the richness of our stories and our people is, you know, would complement the South Boston group. Or, so yeah, you know, we're lucky to have grown up where we did.
Absolutely. So when you start writing this and getting this all together and it's looking like, you know, something might happen with this, did you think to yourself at all at any point, like, that you wanted to have a role in it, or you just always wanted to be that person behind the scenes?
Yeah, I'm more of a behind the scenes guy. This is not the most comfortable spot for me to be in, of like self promotion to try to get the word out for this. But I, you know, I said to myself, I would hate to look back in 6 months and say, you know, there were people in the Philadelphia area that didn't know anything about this movie, and that would be a shame because it is so Philadelphia centric. It's the story is going to make sense to people from all over the country. It's going to make sense to people in Ireland and in England. It's going to make sense, this idea of when you're growing up, you have no idea how good you have it, and you're striving to only leave. That's your goal, is just to get as far away from your parents as you can, from the neighborhood you grew up in as you can, and then at some point kind of having this realization that, you know, things actually were pretty cool, they were great, and I would like that for my kids. So my wife and I, we live 6 miles from where we grew up. And I wanted to leave my whole life to get away from it.
But you didn't go to four.
Exactly. Yep. I made it 6 miles.
Meanwhile, I'm 800 miles away now.
Yeah, you're far. You're the rare guy.
Yeah, right. Believe me, I never thought I would ever leave Delco. I thought I'd be there until the day I died. So it's shocking to me. But I'll tell you, it's crazy. Nashville, like when I just drive around Nashville, I see Delco. It's very Delco to me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, and that's probably a reason why I think that this movie is going to translate so well out of our market. Because, like I said, the story's similar. We all knew somebody that was a little goofy or wacky, and, you know, fortunately, I was lucky enough to call some of those guys my friends. And when you watch this, you're not going to say, oh, I know exactly who that person is, because each of the characters, they evolved. You know, they evolved from the time we wrote it to when we filmed it to when it ultimately got edited. I was fortunate enough to bring on to the scene of our production crew, Matthew Cohen of Matthew Cohen Creative. And he really helped with the shaping of the movie and developing the story we wanted to tell more through the lens that we were filming. So we ended up, after shooting the whole thing, we brought a couple more days on and shot some additional scenes to kind of give a better flavor for the neighborhood so that our viewers could get a sense that the neighborhood is a character in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you think to yourself at all, like, was it always a movie? Or did you think at any point, like, you know, like we said, like, there's probably so many stories to go back on. Did you ever think to yourself maybe like a Netflix type series thing? Or was
yeah, always- that's interesting. I was enamored by the Delco proper guys. I thought their little shorts were great. And I guess really you could break up our stories into shorts in a lot of ways, but this is more of a story to me that needed the full 100 and, you know, hour and 40 minutes, because it's a character. Jeremy Piven's character Mick is, he kind of goes through, he's not that jerk guy from Entourage, you know, he right. may start off that way in this movie, but he has this evolution, and the evolution is, hey, things weren't so bad. You know, I was running away from these guys. And quite frankly, when, you know, the crap hits the fan, these guys are the ones that are going to be there for me. And that's what I've found with my friends from growing up, that I've had experiences in the business world where I kind of thought everyone was rowing in the same direction, or I entered the business situation thinking we were all on the same team. And really it's kind of people out to get each other and out to best each other. And so I've had horrible experiences with business partners that have taken money, that have like just gone so beyond what I would have ever expected from my friends that I grew up with. And that's kind of what has brought me back to knowing that, hey, I've got this core group that's special to have this group that I talk to guys that I went to second grade with. That's yeah. unique, and it's awesome. It should be celebrated.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny you say that too. And I saw that, like, I was going through a lot of the, you know, the press coverage that you've gotten for the movie. And you've said that quite a few times, like, and it makes me wonder too, is it like that for everybody? And I've said this for years, like, I feel like the people I grew up with in either my neighborhood of Upper Darby, going to my grade school, St. Alice, and then the people who I became close with in Upper Darby High School, are truly lifelong friends. I mean, just the other night at midnight here, 1 o'clock there, like, a friend of mine from Upper Darby High School called me out of the blue. He's like, hey, just wanted to call and say, hey. I'm like, dude, like, okay. But
it's awesome.
Yeah, you don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like you have the same experience, and a lot of other people I talk to from our area feel the same way. And I wonder if it's like that around the country.
Yeah, I think it probably is to an extent. You know, I think that just those relationships you have as a child, that kind of you grow up together. And we were lucky that, you know, most of us didn't have a whole lot of parental supervision. So we really needed each other to help kind of get through the pitfalls. And there were plenty of pitfalls. You know, I think, you know, where we went to high school, a lot of times the kids that were really good students got a lot of attention. The kids that needed a lot of help got a lot of attention. And then sometimes people in the middle got lost a little bit. It was such a big place. You know, it's the largest high school in the state. So, but I wouldn't trade it for a second. It was great. And I wish my kids could experience just all of the decisions you had to make in one day. Just a matter to get to school, to get to practice. You know, our parents didn't sign us up for the teams. No. My parents didn't drop us off at the field and pick us up after the field and bring us a snack. And you were kind of figuring it out. And that figuring it out has really helped me with business and with maintaining relationships beyond schooling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So the you know, it's a about Upper Darby, but you guys changed the name to Darby Heights and really happy ended up changing the name.
Well, so I didn't want it to be about Upper Darby. The story is not at all Upper Darby. It's a compilation of stories and friendship stories. But this is a comedy about friendship, and it's not necessarily. It shouldn't just be, you know, one township in Pennsylvania. It's I like the idea of how Upper Darby is in the shadows of Philadelphia. That, you know, Philadelphia was always to me as a kid like so far away. Well, it was probably 10 blocks away, but it just seemed so unreachable. And, you know, a lot of our parents didn't wear suits to wear it. So just seeing like professional people coming out of Philadelphia seemed like it was another world to me as a kid. And so I see this more of a story of kind of underachievers stuck in the shadows of overachievers maybe, and how our Mick character Jeremy Piven really needs to juggle two worlds. He's a member of a country club, he's got a high flying job, and at the same time he has his buddies at home and a family bar that his family has nearly squandered over the last couple hundred years. So it's not about necessarily Upper Darby. So we thought the name Darby Heights was great because I thought it was great that Upper Darby was upper anything. I think it's funny, and I think that and Heights, you know, Clifton Heights, same kind of feeling. Like, so just those were two neighborhoods that went to high school together, and I thought it was a clever name.
Awesome. Now Jeremy Piven in the lead role is Mick. You know, he had his controversy a few years back. This is kind of like his comeback. So did you have any reservations? Did you talk with him before things?
You know, he is a phenomenal, phenomenal actor. And I can tell you that we were lucky to have him on this film. He was so professional and so good. You know, if you pick a sport that you don't know a lot, you know, watch a rugby game or an Australian rules rugby, like you can tell when there's one person out there that's just better than everyone else.
Sure.
And, you know, not to the detriment of the other actors that we brought on board, but Jeremy was unbelievably exceptional on film. He didn't mail this in. He came and he knew the part, and he really sunk his teeth into the role, I think. And in doing so, it kind of made everybody else around him better. So, you know, we were just so lucky to have him. We're so lucky to have Bruce Dern, Jamie Kennedy, and Sherry Oteri both being from Upper Darby. They knew it, and they knew the people. Zach McGowan is an unbelievable brother to Jeremy Piven in this. His name is Dougal. So it's the McDougal family. Mick is Jeremy. Dougal is his brother, Zach, played by Zach McGowan. And the family dynamic that they have is just great. They're totally different. Grew up in the same household, completely different. And I'm sure you'd remember that from the families you grew up with, that you could never tell, like, you know, everybody charts their own path. And they chart their own path because their friends were different and their neighborhood was different. And every couple of years, just people were different. And they kind of, and I think our parents all embraced our differences and allowed us to thrive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how about, you know, mentioned Jamie Kennedy. Were really starting to get the wheels going with this, did you think yourself, and you mentioned John Donahue, your cousin, was vital in this, and, you know, Jamie and John, myself, we all went to St. Alice together. Did you think to yourself you had to get Jamie involved in this instantly?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the timing was really great. That the first person that I hired some exceptional producers for the film, Ante Novakchuk, DJ Dodd, and Rob Simmons. And DJ and Rob really had a specialty with casting. So we didn't hire casting manager, those guys pretty much did it. The first person that they brought on board was Taryn Manning, and she was just so exceptional in Orange is the New Black that I remember saying to my wife, it was probably middle of June in 2019 when we knew we were going to make this. And I said, hey, you wouldn't believe it. Taryn Manning wants to be in this movie. And it was funny. She said, well, why? I think it's a good script. And then the following weekend, I remember talking to my wife and saying, hey, Bruce Dern's in. And what made it real about Bruce Dern is, you know, the guy's a legend, 2-time Oscar nominee. But in addition to that, he had like 3 days he could do this. So he's in 18 scenes in the movie, and we had to cram him into 3 days. But he said, hey, guys, I'll be in the movie, but I can only be there for certain dates. So now it was no longer a pie in the sky thing. It was, hey, we've got a 2-time Oscar nominee, and he's going to be there at the end of September 2019, and we got to get rolling. So the next call went to Jamie and Johnny Donahue and just said, hey, I'd love for you guys to be in it. They were thrilled that Bruce Dern was in it. And then kind of the fourth one on the board was Jeremy Piven. And we always just envisioned him in that role. And he was amazing. He read the script. And he was also a producer for this. So he helped us with the shaping of the film as well. And helped us tweak the script a little bit. And like I said, this isn't the role that he's played before. I think he was awesome in it. But he also has been he's had a budding stand-up comedy career that he's been working on, and I think he saw, all right, I have Bruce Dern, which is awesome, he's a legend, and Jamie Kennedy has you know, legendary props from the stand-up side of things. So it was really a great fit with the cast, and they all kind of got it. They got the neighborhood, and they understood the characters, which was awesome.
Now, you mentioned, which is funny, like when you started saying these things to your wife, you're like, this person's in it, this person's in it. And she's like, well, why? Did you say that to yourself at any point, too?
Like, oh, yeah, totally.
Why do they want to be my movie?
Yeah, totally. And I think it got back to the script that I think that, you know, between the story that Billy Riley, me and Mike Bawn created, and then ultimately the script that I worked on with Paolo, that it was a good script. It was funny, and you know, it's different. There are funny movies aren't being made anymore. You know, Marvel Comics movies are made, action thrillers, tons of violence, and I guess that all sells well. But you know, you turn your TV on now, and you go to one channel, and there's just a death count rolling down the side of how many people are dying daily about COVID. And I want people to smile, and that's the goal here. Like, this isn't Gone with the Wind. We're not going to be writing about the story for years. I want people to go in and at the end of this hour and 40 minutes say, you know, that was fun. That was a fun time. And we need more fun in our life right now.
So let me ask one more question about Jamie real quick, because sure, you told me this before we went live, which I think is hysterical. And so Jamie's character is for the, you know, people watching, if you're from the Upper Darby area, whether you're from St. Alice or Bonner, or I think he went to Bonner and Upper Darby, but Jamie's character is actually Paul White.
Yeah, well, there's my buddy's friend, Paul White, great guy. His name is, we call him Whitey.
Yeah.
Jamie's character isn't necessarily Paul White.
Yeah.
But the name Whitey is a great name for, you know, the idea, just, in a, you know, an Irish neighborhood film, there's a Whitey in it. And and I remember reaching out to Paul probably in 2015 when this was just kind of in the infancy, and saying, hey, are you cool if I make a movie and I name the character Whitey? And he said yes, and we were good. And, you know, he won't be embarrassed by Jamie's role. Jamie is hilarious in this movie. Jamie was funny because I don't know if he read the script. I think he read the script. But he, but he was so clever with his comedy and his stand-up that, you know, nothing was on the script with him. And I think the credit to Paolo Pilati on this, that he allowed the actors to kind of breathe in their role. And really, Jamie made it funnier than what we wrote. He's hilarious. And Jeremy was the same, which was great.
That's awesome. So I got to ask, like, is this something that you're looking to continue to pursue, like, more possible movies?
That's a good question. I really like the idea of comedy and trying to stay in comedy and stay relevant in comedy. And yeah, we're working on another script, and I think that it might not be about Upper Darby, but there's so much in life that's funny that should be celebrated as funny that I'd love to work on something else again.
That's cool. So you are a father, you have three daughters. Have they seen the movie? What are their thoughts of dad now dipping his toe into this different world?
Yeah, I think my youngest daughter is a little embarrassed because she goes to school with one of M. Night's kids. And I think when she heard that maybe dad is going to be producing a movie, that all right, there's clearly somebody in the school who produces movies a little better than I do. But no, the girls have been totally supportive. My wife's been, she's going to get best supporting wife role. they've been great. They've allowed, this is such a time suck. It's from making it to having to be on set to, all the time we spent with the writing,
right?
All the time with the editing, that post-production. I had no idea how long that took, and feels like it took forever. And now we're into this marketing side of it, that it's exhausting, and I'm sure I'm exhausting to be around, but they've been so supportive, and I'm fortunate to have them on my camp.
That's awesome. Now, one thing that I saw too, as I was going through your stuff, website and all, for people that don't know this, and I think this is like mind-blowingly huge, something that you and your wife do, you give back to Upper Darby High School. You have a scholarship, you have a SAT prep program, a tutoring program. Like, you're not somebody who, like you said, like wanted to go away and just forget about it. I mean, you're truly a given back to your stomping grounds.
Yeah, that's important to us. I think we set up a scholarship beginning, I guess this is going to be our 20th year this year. Wow. And what's Upper Darby produces great people. And again, it's more popular for the news to talk about the bad people. And there are bad people everywhere. It's not Upper Darby. Just so happens that they have 4,000 kids in the school, and it can be hard to manage at times. But And it's hard for me to say, all right, how am I going to impact 4,000 kids? I can't. That would be overwhelming. But if we can help a couple of kids a year, if we can help, I say pull them out, but I mean more prop them up and try to help them with whatever we can help them with. It's not monetary. We do a scholarship through the school. The school selects the kid. But I think it's more the gift of time, of mentoring. And it's funny, I had a kid 5 years ago graduating from Upper Darby that I was mentoring. And he said to me, Mr. Lingo, on this college application, it says, what major do you want? And so what should I put there? And I thought, I don't know. So I said, well, did you ever is there an adult that you've talked to that you thought, oh, they got a pretty cool job? And his answer, and it was insensitive of me to ask, but his answer was no. Like, this guy knew coaches, teachers, and that's it. And disappointment from adults. So when you don't have strong role models, like, it was naive of me to think that this kid did. So we really spent a lot of time, and I'm thankful to report that today he graduated college in 4 years, and he's an intern for my company right now. And I don't know that he wants to be in my line of work, but we're giving him an opportunity to experience the business world that he wasn't going to have a shot at otherwise. So I think that's great. Now, for as many people as we help, there are plenty of people that don't want help, that are on their own. Sure. And it takes time to figure out kind of what you want to be when you grow up. But our goal is not to just force kids from Upper Darby to try to go to college. College isn't the right route for everybody, but you have to have a plan, and you have to have, I say to the kids all the time, that I say this to my nephews, the kids that didn't work hard when I was a kid are working a heck of a lot harder than I am right now. Cause I was just on a movie set. I go to the shore periodically, play golf periodically. I played tennis the other night with a buddy. These guys are waking up early and working their butts off because they didn't put the time in when they were younger, and they didn't have a plan. So I just want to kind of get them set up for that.
Yeah. I didn't have a plan.
Well, and it makes it harder. It makes it harder you don't have, when you wake up in the day, it's helpful to have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, then you say at the end of the day, but I didn't really get much done today. So, so I like to try to treat life the same way.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was thinking to myself, like I'm flashing back to like Upper Darby High School, and they had like the Wall of Fame, and they had a bunch of like older guys who I don't even know who they were, but he was up there. And I would always say to myself, man, I'm going to be on that wall. I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to be on that wall. And then I think that I'm like, yeah, did like Tina Fey ever make it on the wall? Did Jeff LaBar ever make it on the wall? Now I'm saying, is Greg Lingo going to be on that wall?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not a goal. It's not a goal of mine. I am not on the wall. Tina is on the wall. I walked by her picture the other day. You know, I'm not looking for self congratulations. If we get a little exposure for this region because of this film, I think that's great. I think more films should be made on the East Coast. I think more films should be made in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for that matter. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania has a distinct disadvantage with New Jersey, because New Jersey offers tax credits to films in this kind of price range.
Right.
And Pennsylvania, a lot of the tax credits go to the big productions. So I would love to see more investment in arts and education. And we're lucky. I mean, Upper Darby is phenomenal. If you think about all the talent that came out from the arts and education, or arts and theater program, and the great summer stage, and would love to try to figure out a way to kind of foster more growth there, because there's just so much talent.
That's awesome. So the movie actually comes out a few weeks, March 19th. It is going to be in some theaters. Was the plan initially theaters, but with COVID?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. COVID has thrown a wrench in everything, and I'm not going to use it as a crutch. We're living in the world of COVID. We're going to be lucky. I have an unbelievable distributor in IFC Films for our North American distribution, and they do a great job getting it out. I think we're going to probably be in close to 100 theaters nationally. And we'll be in some theaters in the Philadelphia area, but most people are going to see it online. So it's going to be on demand, pay-per-view, iTunes, Amazon, Apple, and kind of most streaming services will carry it.
And where should we send everybody to keep up to date on it, to see all the fun hijinks and actual release?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, really, lastcallmovie.net is going to be probably the best way to kind of stay tracking it. Also, lastcall.movie would be another way that folks could kind of get updates. And they also, they're going to see, you know, I think our trailer is one of the top five trailers on Apple TV right now. So it's just, word's getting out there, and it's getting out there because I think finally people have a sigh of relief and say, all right, something finally that might be a little bit funny in life is coming.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you, you asked me before we went live, where did you grow up in Upper Darby?
So I was kind of close to, I was in between Berkeley Square and Bonds Shopping Center. I was on Beverly Boulevard, backed up to that Nailers Run Park.
Okay.
Great spot. So I walk into high school. I could walk to elementary, so I went to Bywood initially, and then Highland Park, and then Beverly Hills, and then Upper Darby High School. And then for Upper Darby High School, I kind of walked through the park and had to navigate my way through all the guys that weren't going to school that day. Thankfully, I had an older brother that I didn't get beat up too much, and he helped protect me on that walk. But that was 4 minutes of a hellacious walk at times.
How about I used to walk the tracks in the morning going to high school before I started driving, but we used to walk over the trellis going over Nailers Run Park.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So I was walking right under the trellis to get up to the school.
Crazy times. Fun times and memorable times that shaped our lives and thousands of others.
Exactly.
Yeah. Greg, man, thanks for doing this. Congrats on everything. Well deserved. Can't wait to see the movie.
Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with everything.
You too, man. Take care.
Bye.